Is it time? All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Well, I'm just used to saying that. Good for you to see me. How about that? That's a little different. Me and Brother Ken was just cutting up a little bit before we got on, and you caught me in the middle of a laugh. But it is good to be with you tonight. Glad that we're able to come into your home, to come into your lives, and just to be with you tonight. I know it's a little dreary outside, and here, at least in Duffield, Virginia, it is. Can't help but get you a little bit dreary, a little bit sleepy sometimes. But praise the Lord, as we get ready for tonight's lesson, we're going to kind of be doing one that if you've been here very long at Thomas Village, it might sound a little bit familiar, but I still think it's a blessed one, and I think it'll make sense to you as we go through. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 10. The book of James, chapter 10. But before we sing our song tonight and get into our Bible study, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a time of prayer, praise reports, prayer needs, and prayer before we go into it, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come to you tonight thanking you and praising you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness, and your love. And Lord, tonight I just invite your Holy Spirit to be in our midst. I pray that the joy of the Lord just rest in us, rise up in us, rest upon us, and give us wisdom as we study. Lord, as we sing your praises, and we ask you, Lord, to again forgive us of where we failed you. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. In the way of praise reports tonight, again, number one, God is on the throne. He's in control of everything that is going on, and we give him all the glory for that, knowing that when we cannot trust his hand, when we can't trust what we see going on around us, we can trust his heart and his love for us as we look to the cross of Jesus. And also, we look ahead to the promise of his return. And then also, we recognize that we're one day closer to getting back to normal, or at least a semblance of what's normal. And more and more, we're beginning to hear, thank God, Country Boys is opening back up in Pennington, and Chubby's down the road here is opening back up Monday, so there's going to be more places to get food from, but go to them, help them get kicked back off, if you will, not saying any one of them's the best one, but just to support our local people. Also, just thankful for the time that we get to spend with you. And then you might have seen me post this on Facebook today. I'm a little bit late with it. But in the middle of April, Attorney General Barr said, and I quote, "Even in times of emergency and temporary restrictions of rights, the First Amendment and federal statutory law prohibits discrimination on religious institutions and beliefs." And he goes on to say that no special restriction can be made on religious activities. Therefore, you're free to go to whatever drive-in service you want to go to. You don't have to be fearful of anything like that. The federal government stands with us on that. And as long as you practice the safety aspects of it, and that being said, it just so happens we're having a drive-in service May the 3rd, this Sunday at 11 o'clock, and we invite you to be with us in that. And I pray that you have something. Look around. God has blessed you today in some way, somehow. You won't have to look too far to find something that God has been good to you. In the way of prayer needs, we want to remember the lost. We want to remember those that are backslidden. We want to remember marriages as the devil fights against them. Those that are depressed, the Kraft family, Zach Dunlop, Jimmy Lane, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith and Sister Priscilla, Peggy DeBoard, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Prevatt, Helen Bowen, Ruth Bowen, Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith, Lisa Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wilder, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Danny Smith, and another praise report, if he ain't home yet, he's fissing to be here, Brother Frank. is able to come back to the house today. And I know not only he's thankful, but Sister Melissa and Trey is as well. So if you have a prayer need right now, I challenge you just to lift it up before the Lord. And we're going to pause for a few moments of silence. And then we'll go to the Lord on behalf of these prayer needs. But let's remember, number one, most of all, those that are lost. And then also, let's remember those that are on the front lines, our government, our governors, as they're considering how to open us back up and keep us safe and kick off our economy at the same time, but also that they recognize that people are getting antsy and not gonna be for this isolation much longer. So let's just pray that God's will and his power be in control tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do come to you today thanking you for the privilege of being able to be in your house tonight. Lord, confessing to you my inabilities, my sinfulness, even, Lord, my attitude and just tiredness tonight, Heavenly Father God, but I'm still thankful that you love me. I'm thankful that you've called me. I'm thankful that you've equipped me, Heavenly Father, Lord. I'm thankful that you've given me the ability to stand up here tonight, to speak, to joke, to cut up, but God, also to be able to deliver your message. And God, I do ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I think of those tonight that don't know you, those that are lost and dying, going to hell. As we think of all those numbers, 1,600,000 are sick in America today, and 61,342 have passed away due to this virus. We pray for them. God, we pray for their families specifically, Lord, as they're suffering for loss. But God, we pray for those tonight that are spiritually dead, that don't know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, God, that you touch them. We pray for that they'll feel your call and hear your call from the Holy Spirit. God, I pray tonight for those that are struggling with depression, the marriages that are being fought, Heavenly Father, Lord, by the enemy, the Kraft family, as they've lost a grandmother. We thank you that Zach's doing better, for Jimmy Lane, Lord, for little Ryan Luke. We pray for him tonight and all these other needs, whether it be just places in life, situations that's going on. Lord, the Bible told us to pray for and to care for the widows and the homeless, Heavenly Father, Lord. So we pray for them, lift them up to you right now. And God, as we get prepared to go in a time of study, I pray that you be glorified, and it's for your name's sake. Amen and amen. If you do have any prayer needs, just send them to us. You can send us to them through to my text. You can text it to me, text it to a deacon. You can send it to the church's email or on our Facebook page. Also, I have to put a warning out again. If you remember a few months ago, there was somebody using my name and texting certain people asking for $300 gift cards. Well, yesterday, somebody has used my name again. And this time, they're using my name with Thomas Village initials on a Gmail account. Don't answer it. If I need money from you, I will call you directly and beg it from you, okay? No, I'm cutting up, but it looks like what people are doing is that they're going to our webpage and they're getting the information off our webpage and they're using that to try to con somebody. So just be very careful and report it as spam or whatever, piracy, whatever you can report it as it, okay? In the way of announcements tonight, don't forget on March 3rd, that's this upcoming Sunday at 11 o'clock, we'll be having... May 3rd. So I'm mad with them people that's using my name. That's what I was thinking about, them people using my name. This Sunday, May 3rd, we'll be having a drive-in service at 11 o'clock. You come and be a part of that. And then don't forget our Mondays and Fridays, our prayer time and devotion. Thank you to Brother Ken for his time on Monday night. Enjoyed it. And now this Friday, we'll kindly be kicking it over again. We're going to have some new ones this month, but it'll be Brother Wayne will be starting us off Friday at 6 o'clock. Check out our Awana webpage, TVBC Awana page. And we're also planning June the 22nd through the 25th. We're planning on having our vacation Bible school. So be with us on that and be praying for that, that we can be a part of that. But also, as we see things beginning to lift and some normalcy starting to come back together, we pray it's not going to be long that we're able to worship together on a consistent basis. But I've been praying. I've sent the deacon some thoughts, and we're going to have to do some things differently for a while. And just pray that we have the wisdom and discernment on how to do it right and to keep everybody safe, but still be able to worship together in one mind, one heart, and one body. Okay, so just be praying about that. And then lastly, if you have any need, give me or the deacons a call, and we'll do our best to be there with you, okay? Now tonight, I've got a little bit of a sore throat, so what we're going to do is we're going to sing a chorus. Now, if you know the whole song, the song is Family of God, and if you know it, you know that there are a couple of verses along with this. Well, we're not going to sing the verses tonight, number one, because they're not in the Baptist hymnal. Number two, I don't know them all. I don't even think I know a whole one. But what we're going to do is we're going to sing Family of God, the chorus part of it. As you're turning to the book of James, we're going to sing it twice, okay? I'm Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Now you're familiar with it. Let's go again. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I bet if I look very hard around here, I can probably find the verses to that. And I might find it. We might do it Sunday. All right, tonight we're going to be reading a little bit. We're going to be in the book of James. And our specific scripture tonight is going to kindly come from James chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. And we're going to read all the way through verse 18. And what I want to talk about tonight is the need for corporate prayer. The need for corporate prayer. Now, like I said, if you've been around Thomas Village, you might have heard this one. When we're done with this, you're going to understand why Thomas Village has heard this sermon, because based on this sermon, we've implemented something in our church. I felt like when God brought me here that it was something that we needed to do. And to be honest with you, no matter what church I'm at, I feel like this is something that we'll need. But there are two scriptures that God gave me about re-preaching or preaching the same topic. The first is found over in Philippi. It says, as you're turning to the book of James chapter 5, James chapter 5. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write unto you again about this is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard to you. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. So what Paul is telling the Philippians there is, number one, this topic that I've already covered, I've already talked to you about, it's no big deal, or it's not putting me out to talk about it again. And matter of fact, Paul says, it's better for you that I do it, and it's a safety measure in the lives of you that are there at Philippi that I teach about it again. But then Solomon also wrote, what has been is what will be. More than anyone can say, the eye is not satisfied by seeing, or the ear filled with the hearing. Can anyone say about anything, look, this is new? It has already existed in ages before us. I'm going to be honest with you. If your preacher ever comes in and tell you he's going to teach something that's never been taught before, you need to kind of check out what he's about to teach you, okay? Because we have the scriptures and there is nothing new under the sun. Now, we might understand it more in a clear way. It might impact us up into a different way. But as the Bible says, there is nothing. It's already been taught somehow, some way. Probably taught better than what I'll ever be able to teach it. But tonight I want to talk with you about the need for corporate prayer. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call upon the elders of the church, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning that he felt the same emotion, the same wants, same desires that we felt, and he prayed earnestly. And it rained not, that it might not rain on the earth a space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. May God add the readings to this. Now, in this situation, we see two objects here. We see one, that the Bible says, if there's one sick among you, let him call upon the elders of the church. Or the idea, when he says elder, notice he does not say just one elder, but he uses the term elders in plural. So that there is a group of men, whether it be in the church setting, while I know some do it like that, I know there's others that go into the hospital room or into the sickness room, whatever it might be. But most of the time, the Bible says, let him call upon the elders of the church in plural. And then we see in Elijah that Elijah was able to pray and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. But then when it was the right time, he prayed again and the rain came down. The sky let loose. Now, many times we put men like Elijah, like Paul, all these other men, we put them on pedestals. And we should look at their lives and we should have things in their lives that we should imitate. But what we've got to remember is these men were men like you and I. They were flesh and blood. They were prone to sin. It said it here that Elijah was given to like passions. So it was the same things that the ways we feel. After he had such this amazing answer of prayer, he prayed fire down from the sky and beat the prophets of Baal over in 2 Kings, I believe it is, somewhere around chapter 20. And then he prayed and the heavens gave forth water after 3.5 years. He got depressed. And when he got up there in the mountain, he basically told the Lord, I'm the only one that's left. He felt alone. He felt like there was no one else with him. But you know what he did do, Doug? With all his issues and all his things, he believed that God was able to hear his prayer. He believed that God was able to answer his prayer. And so what was he? He was a man that was faithful in prayer. And that's what the Bible's trying to show us here in James chapter 17. He prayed. He trusted that God heard his prayer. And then you know what God did? God answered his prayers in a public manner. But I want you to notice this, that prayer is not an option for a Christian. Prayer is not an option for a Christian. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Jesus says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy prayer closet, and when thou shut the door behind you, pray, and the Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Isn't that exactly what we see happen there with Elijah? Elijah prayed. Matter of fact, we know that when he prayed for the rain to stop, he was by himself. And he noticed a little cloud and he sent back his servant and says, okay, the rain's coming. You see, what he did in private, God showed publicly. But just like here, and I could say this about fasting because the same thing is true, because God doesn't say if you pray or if you fast. He says, when you pray, you need to go into your prayer closet. So it's not an option for us to be praying. While Maybe not everybody that's listening here tonight that is Christians are practicing, I believe, practicing prayer privately, but I believe that all would say that they would know and recognize that the Scripture commands that we are to be a people of prayer. However, I believe the Bible also teaches the importance of corporate prayer. Prayer together. Now tonight what I'm going to talk about is we're going to look at the idea of praying as a church. Praying together. Coming together and lifting up our needs together. But this can also be true for praying with your family, praying with your friends, praying with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that as the body of Christ, as Christians, there is not a greater thing that we can do than to come together in prayer with one another. However, it surprises me how many men, godly men, that's been saved for years, do not feel comfortable praying in public. How that in modern times, the altar, instead of being a place of prayer, has simply become a place that when somebody needs to be saved should come to. In biblical times, the altar was a place of prayer. And what better place for a man or a woman to be found in the church of God than on the altar? I really believe, this is just me and one of my pet peeves as a pastor, but if I'm your pastor, I want you to have your own spot on this altar. This is my spot. Whether it be on the furthest end or whether it be closest to the pulpit, but you can say that's my spot. That's the place where I shed tears. That's the place where I give praise. That's the place where I pray that God answer my needs. But that is where I go when I'm at God's house to pray. And you say, Brian, that don't make sense. Well, let me tell you this. Go into the Old Testament and see where they build altars and why they build altars. All three of those things. And now, don't get offended when somebody else uses your spot now. I mean, don't run them off and say, get up, it's my turn to pray. Just jump over else and use somebody else's. It's kind of there. Just use it as needed, okay? But also, listen, in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, it tells the parable of a woman that would keep going to the king because she felt like she was been doing wrong. And after time and time again, that she had went to the king. The king said, basically, my goodness, I'll give you what you want, and not because what I think what you want is right, but if you're to keep you from coming to me. And then in Luke 18:8, Jesus says this, I tell you that when he will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come again, will he find such faith on the earth? Will he find someone that's committed to praying and going back to the body, going back to pray? Now, you remember I said if you have been around Thomas Finlay very long, you've probably heard this sermon before. You've probably heard this study because of this. Once a month on Wednesday night, and how many of you remember when Wednesday night meetings were called prayer meeting? But somehow they've drifted away from that. They've became Awana meeting. They've became study time. They've became Bible trivia night and all that, but praise God, we still believe at Thomas Village that it's to be prayer meeting. And so once a month, when we can meet together, and I was almost going to do it tonight, but I figured I'd preach a sermon instead. I was almost tonight going to just have a prayer meeting, but all we do is we come together, and sometimes we pray for our nation, our military, ones that are working in health, others that are that. We pray for our church. We pray for our different programs. We pray, and that's all we do. Whether it be 30 minutes or whether it go for an hour, and sometimes it's even go longer than an hour when we've prayed like that. But praise God, but I want to tell you this. Now I don't tell when we're going to do that. I don't tell because some people wouldn't come, so I leave them guessing, and that way they've only basically got a 50 shot to know when it's going to be. But listen, the Bible teaches us, Jesus Christ himself said this. You remember when he cleaned out the temple? What did he say? He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Is the house today, is the place, the facility that we call God's house today, if we compare Bible study time and fellowship time with prayer time, which would better describe it? The place where God's people meet, or the house of prayer. Now, the first thing about corporate prayer or praying together is this. It was practiced by the early church. Specifically, it was practiced by the disciples. Listen, Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room where there abode Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the brother of James. These all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, so before the day of Pentecost, after Jesus has left, his followers are gathered together praying together. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. This is after Pentecost. Peter and John have just been released from healing the man that was raised up at the gate called Beautiful. And being let go, they went their own way. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Again, Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Again, Peter's been arrested. He's been locked up, but now an angel has showed up and freed him. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered and prayed together. Now, you say, Brian, what's your point? All right. Most men, when you talk to them, most pastors, what they would say is when you read the book of Acts, what we see is we see the establishment of the early church. We see it go from just the group of people that were following Jesus that were there in the upper room. And then on the day of Pentecost, we see it come together and they speak in tongues. We see 3,000 or more get saved that day. And then throughout the book of Acts, we see it divided up and it goes all over the place, Turkey and everywhere else. If this is the establishment of the church, praying together, we see, is essential in the establishment of the church. That means today, whatever church you're a part of, your church should have a time where you pray together. And I believe it means if you want to pray, you can pray. If you don't, praise God, you don't have to pray aloud. But there needs to be a time where that's all we do. Y'all remember when we used to have college prayer meetings? We'd gather at each other's houses and all we'd really do is pray. And then we'd eat together and we'd pray for just revival. And we had great moves of the Holy Spirit back then. You see, why should we have corporate prayer? Why should you pray with your family? Because, praise God, it was practiced by our early church fathers. Number two is this, and I've already mentioned it, but why should we practice corporate prayer? Because Christ said that his house would be the house of prayer. Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer? And you have made it a den of thieves. And both Matthew and Luke and John even gives us, now John's a little bit out of sequence, but all three of them show us where Jesus did this. The world outside of these walls knows this building as a church. But they ought to be able to know that if they have a need, that when we say, come, let us pray for you, it's not just going to be a quick, Lord bless his servant, but we'll bring them in here, we'll surround them by the altar, and we'll pray for them. And if that's all that needs to go on in that service, praise God, that's all we'll do. And I promise you this, I dare you, I double dog dare you, as my daddy would say. Take a Wednesday night and say, hey, all we're going to do tonight is pray and get serious and get real about it. And I promise you, you'll know that God has been there. No, more importantly, you'll know that you've been in the presence of God and you'll see things that begin to happen in your church. The next thing is this. We see that it was practiced by the early church. Jesus commanded that at his house, what we call our churches, our facilities, the church shall be a house of prayer. And then we see that corporate prayer brings unity to the body. Corporate prayer brings unity to the body. We've been read it over in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And then in Acts 4:31, it said they had prayed with one mind and one spirit, and the place where they were gathered was shaken. They became one of mind. What were they praying for? Right there when they were praying, for, all they wanted was God's will. It wasn't about Jim or Peter or Tom or whoever else when they were praying. They were praying, God, we need your presence up there in the upper room before Christ should come. They were praying, God, send us your power. Send us that promise. And then when we go over there to the book of Acts, they were praying, Lord, give us the holy boldness to preach your word. We've been put in jail. They're beating us. They're threatening to kill us. Give us the holy boldness to preach your word. You see, they were unified in what they were praying for. And praise God, we may not can come together on many things, but as Christians, you know what we can pray for? Unity in our church and that Jesus Christ be number one. Jesus Christ be number one. Everything we do be for His glory, and that we be united in the way that we serve Him. I'm going to move on fast. The next thing is this. Corporate prayer conflicts or battles against conflict. You know, the Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us not to go to bed with anger in our heart or to be angry with our wives because or our spouses because it'll hinder our prayers. How many of you have ever been angry with somebody and then got down and prayed with them and got right back up and cussed them out? I'd say it's not happened very much. Not really if you've got into the presence of God. You know why? Because the Spirit of God comes and takes over. Listen in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven trespass against you. You see, when you and your brother is in a disagreement and things get heated, if you'll just fall down together, grab each other by the hand, and one pray for a few minutes, and then the other pray for a few minutes, it's going to ease the resentment. It may not immediately resolve the problem, but at least it's going to give you the right eyes and the right gaze to look through it too. You see, the old prayer, the old saying is, or at least it's the saying around here, is prayer changes things. If you want an argument to end, if you want to get over a situation holding resentment with somebody in the church, outside the church, go tell them you want to pray with them. What, I mean, hey, if you've got a broken relationship right now, what's it going to hurt? You might as well, because see, the same is true about the Lord's table. You see, you can't come around the Lord's table with a pure heart. You can't come together to the Lord's Supper, being resentful with somebody else, and not be pure in heart to come to it. Why? Because the Lord's table is a table of unity, a table of forgiveness. And the same is true with prayer. Oh, see, the early church practiced corporate prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It counters against conflict. It helps bring unity to the body. The next thing is, it enhances the preacher. He preaches better when you pray. I don't know if you hear different or I preach different, but one way or another, when you pray for me and the church prays for me, things sound better. No, I've got verses of Scripture. I don't expect you to take my word for it. I got Scripture for this, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Listen to what he says, Ephesians 6, 19. And for me, that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. The idea of utterance there means the putting forth of words. And the mystery is the good news of Jesus Christ that is hidden from the lost. That is the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Exodus 34:35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face, Moses put on a veil against his face, and until he went to speak to them. Why did Moses cover his face? Because he had been in the presence of the Almighty God. Pray. And when you go into the presence of Almighty God, you come out seeing different, hearing different. When you pray for your pastor, God blesses your prayers. He answers the prayers of a fervent man. See, and that's when we can have... Now think about it. We're praying. We're praying together. We know that the early church did it, the disciples. We know that God said that His house shall be called a house of prayer, right? And then we know that it'll help bring us in one mind and one accord. We know that if there's any differences that we have, we need to pray about it and to help us do away with them. And then it's going to help a preacher preach better. And I'm telling you what, you want to have a good service. I bet this builds up to a pretty doggone good service. And then last thing is this. There's consequences if we don't pray together. I tell you this, a church that does not practice prayer together makes it an emphasis, is a powerless church. 9 times out of 10. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, and that they might lead quiet and peaceable lives in goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Then Jeremiah 10:24-25. O Lord, correct me with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know not thee, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. You see, when we pray together, there is a power and faith that is there. We honor and obey God. There is a unity and oneness of spirit. Division and conflict and strife cannot stay there. It empowers the praises of the pastor and his preaching. But if we're not powering, there's consequences. A lack of faith. There'll probably be division there. There'll probably be people that's trying to do this and trying to do that, and there for their own purpose instead of being united together. So tonight I want to challenge you. I know it may be a while before we can actually get back together and gather around the altar together. But you know what? You're going to be somewhere, maybe Sunday, Lord willing, maybe even here. I hope you'll be here. And you know what? There's going to be a time of prayer. And we'll be able to say, in the name of Jesus, not only do I come before you, but with everyone that is gathered here today, we come before you in love, obedience, and honor. And I promise you, when people practice prayer together, the church, the family, co-workers, friends, things happen. You know why? Because prayer changes things. That ain't some catchy saying. That's what the Bible says. You know that? And then one more thing before we go. Chalk this up. I'm getting you out early. I'm getting you out of here before 4. I'm getting you out of here before 6:40 tonight. I mean, put a star on the calendar right now. But remember this. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him tonight, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Don't forget, 11 o'clock, May 3rd. We're going to have a drive-in service, and we're looking forward to seeing you there, all right? God bless you. Bye-bye.